अन्तर्बहिःशाकिल लोकपालक अदृष्टरूपो विचर शिरुस्वन स ईश्वरस्त्वमयैदमशेनयम् नम्ना यथा दारुमयि नरस्त्रियम् Anta, within, Bahi, without, Cha, also, Akhila Lokapalakai, by the leaders of the different planets, societies, kingdoms, and so on. Adrishtarupa, not seen. Vicharasi, you wander. Uru, very great. Swana, who sounds Vedic mantras. Saha, he. Ishvara, the supreme controller. Tvam, you. Ya, who. Idam, this. Vashe, under control. Anayat has brought namna by different names like Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra. Yatha, exactly like. Darumayim, made of wood. Nara, a man. Striyam, a doll. Translation. My dear Lord, just as a puppeteer controls his dancing dolls and a husband controls his wife, your Lordship controls all the living entities in the universe, such as Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. Although you are in everyone's heart as a supreme witness and commander and are outside everyone as well, the so-called leaders of societies, communities, and countries cannot realize you. Only those who hear the vibration of the Vedic mantras can appreciate you. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is Antarbahi, present within and without everything. One must overcome the delusion caused by the Lord's external energy and realize His presence both externally and internally. In Srimad Bhagavatam 1.8.19, Srimati Kunti Devi has explained that Krishna appears in this world Nato natya dharo yatha, exactly like an actor dressed as a player. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, verse 61, Krishna says, Ishvara sarva bhuta namrideshe Arjuna tishtati. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna. The Lord is situated within everyone's heart and outside as well. Within the heart, He is the super soul, the incarnation who acts as the advisor and witness. Yet although God is residing within their hearts, foolish people say, I cannot see God. Please show Him to me. Everyone is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly like dancing dolls controlled by a puppeteer or a woman controlled by her husband. A woman is compared to a doll, Darumayi, because she has no independence. She should always be controlled by a man. Still, due to false prestige, a class of women wants to remain independent. What to speak of women? All living entities are prakriti, female, and therefore dependent on the Supreme Lord, as Krishna Himself explains in Bhagavad Gita. Apareyam itas tvanyan, prakritim vidhi me param. The living entity is never independent. Under all circumstances, he is dependent on the mercy of the Lord. The Lord creates the social divisions of human society, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, and ordains that they follow rules and regulations suited to their particular position. In this way, all members of society remain always under the Supreme Lord's control. Still, some people foolishly deny the existence of God. Self-realization means to understand one's subordinate position in relation to the Lord. When one is thus enlightened, he surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is liberated from the clutches of the material energy. In other words, unless one surrenders to the lotus feet of the Lord, the material energy in its many varieties will continue to control him. No one in the material world can deny that he is under control. The Supreme Lord, Narayan, who is beyond this material existence, controls everyone. The following Vedic mantra confirms this point. Ekoha vai Narayana asit. Foolish persons think Narayan to be on the platform of ordinary material existence because they do not realize the natural constitutional position of the living entity. They concoct names like Daridra Narayan, Swami Narayan, or Mithya Narayan. However, Narayan is actually the supreme controller of everyone. This understanding is self-realization. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This is a very interesting purport. We are reading here many topics which are quite very vast, very expansive to discuss, and they are all in one purport, in one translation even. And then preparing this class, I saw actually there were many issues that we could discuss today. One main topic is that the Lord is everywhere, inside, outside. We want to see God, because we have a hard time recognizing Him. We are controlled by the Lord. That's a hard one. Women are controlled by men. That's a tough one for me personally. But I think also for women in general. Social divisions, Varnashram system, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudras. Denying the existence of God. That's also not unfamiliar to us. We have a subordinate position of the self. The soul has a subordinate position. Narayan is not on a material platform. That's also a very interesting topic because many think that we are Narayan, isn't it? But we are temporarily here. But we will realize someday that we are Narayan. So that's why we do all kinds of chanting and yoga and so on. And the last one is that we are controlled by material nature. So I made a selection. I could avoid certain topics, but it's good to maybe discuss it, even though we will not reach the conclusion, but still it's good to discuss it. How is the Lord inside and outside? at the same time, and not also in the same time, but everywhere, in everybody. How is that? I think many of you have read that before, isn't it? It's not like I'm telling something new here. Who wants to share his understanding of how the Lord is at the same time in and also outside your body, or in this material creation, or even in this universe and outside this universe? Yes, brother. Yes. Yes. And that is the method that you accepted this explanation. So Madhu Gopal Prabhu mentions that, of course, the Lord is inside our heart. Outside, we see Him as Gopinath, and also the manifestation of the spiritual master. And actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada uses the analogy of space. If you have... So what is closed here? Like the donation box. Inside the donation box, there is space, isn't it? Too much space. Maybe by the end of the day less, but let's do our best. Thank you. So there is space inside, but also outside. And the space is not diminished in any way. If you put many boxes here, still the space is there. It's not diminished in quality. It's still there. So this is, when I was trying, a few years ago, when I was trying to understand this concept, how is the Lord everywhere? He's in my heart, okay, I cannot see Him in my heart, otherwise I would have to kill myself or something. But He should be everywhere. So, I was trying to really understand if I can see Him, of course, with our material concept of seeing. And if you understand that space is everywhere, that molecules like oxygen or, carbon, or they are everywhere. We don't see them, but they're there. But they're also inside our body. So if you go to that level, and even to a higher level of understanding, then indeed you can understand from that angle the Lord. That is more from the analyzing way. More like a scientific way. But there is another example by which you can even better understand that the Lord is everywhere, is the analogy of the businessman, also mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The analogy of the businessman explains that, I think maybe a good example is Microsoft, Bill Gates. So Bill Gates is a person, isn't it? Who has seen Him? None of you has seen Him. Me neither. But we know that He exists because there are images or maybe some YouTube small videos. But Bill Gates is a man. So he creates Microsoft. Microsoft is his energy, and he creates companies. Those companies, It's not that Bill Gates is in all the companies at the same time, but still, the companies are manifestations of him. Isn't it? You can follow that? Or I think it's quite logical that to accept. But even the in the company, the whole structure are energies of him. The people working in Bill Gates' companies are under his control. Do we accept that? Yeah. So, of course, here is Bill Gates, and the Lord is here. So, but still, to make our, you know, do some brain yoga here, just to understand that there is a bigger concept of control, of not of control, but of presence. And without being diminished, you know, even though he sets up many companies, it doesn't mean that Bill Gates becomes less. He doesn't lose an arm, or he doesn't lose, you know. The more he sets up doesn't mean that he loses his being, his personality. And contrary, he gains more Lakshmi and position. So this is the concept of understanding. If you are at home and your father is away, even though he's away, even though he is not there, still you know, you feel his presence. Still your father is there in the way he organized things at home, in the way he made everything run in a family, in the way that the certain chairs are put, the way he likes it, etc., etc. So in that way, you see your father at home, even though he's not there. So this is how we should try to understand that the Lord is here. The way he arranged that we have enough oxygen to breathe, the way he arranged that our bodies are functioning, the way he has the bigger structure in the universe and in the creation, the way he arranged the different colors of the creation, everything. This is how we should, you know, develop our sight to see the Lord. So devotees train themselves to see the Lord in that way, and in that way they train also others to recognize their Supreme Father. So that's why when people, you know, ask us, you know, where is God? I cannot see him. We have to know how to make others see God. And for that, we have to see God. So we have to see Krishna everywhere. But of course, you know, some of us try and we see. Of course, we see Krishna here on the altar. So we say to such a person, come to Radhades and see God. Isn't it? But there is, of course, certain level of explaining. So, coming on the topic of control, we hear in this text that the Lord controls us just like a man is controlling his wife. Ooh, difficult topic. Whoa, especially woman giving class, and I have to explain that it is right. Wow. How to do that? It's a challenge. It's not a big challenge if we are speaking about what is control. What is control? I'm sorry? Influence. Manipulate, use, protect. Protecting. Giving directions. Mm. That's a challenging connotation. Indeed, if I mention control, then it feels bad. Yes, Brahma. It's not bad to control your mind. Protect your wife by controlling. Yeah, that's okay. Okay. No. So, before controlling the mind of the wife, we have to control our mind ourselves. So what kind of feeling it gives you? Does it give you a feeling when I say control? Suppose I would say to you, Dinadayal Prabhu, I will control you. What kind of feeling does it give you? That you lose your individuality? Your joys, your options to enjoy this existence of your other things. What kind of feeling does it give you if you hear control? Yes, Prabhu. But if I say I will control you, you will feel comfortable. If it's a nice person that controls you. So, yeah, you have a feeling that you will lose your freedom. You will lose your free will. You will lose your options to use your intelligence to decide about your life, to develop your life. Actually, it's very fearful. And actually, it's very unnatural if you go on that level. So control, in the connotation that we nowadays have, the negative connotation, is very unnatural. It's not the way that we read the relationship of the Lord and the living entities. The Lord and the living entities are presented in such a way that they are both enjoying when they are related to each other. So indeed, the car example was given. I don't know who gave the car example. Dinadaya. So the Prabhupada also uses the car example. And he says, when we are in control of the car, the car can do many things. You know, the car has a potency to go left or right, or, you know, to stop, or to drive fast, or to, you know, go slow. The car has many potentials. But when is the car, and there was also that there is a safety aspect, when is the car in good hands? When you have an excellent driver. When the driver is thinking not only of his enjoyment, but is thinking of the safety, the well-being of others that will be, you know, coming on the way of the car, isn't it? When he manages to keep himself fixed on the guidelines, he has a driver's license, when there is a sign to drive 50 kilometers, he drives 50 kilometers per hour and not more, maybe less. So when there is a behavior of keeping to the set rules, to the dharma, to the duties that are prescribed, you know, in your driver's license, then the car is safe and, you know, admits to the control of the driver. But when not, what happens if you too long push too hard on the gas? what will happen, the car will, you know, show signs of that the technical malfunctions is visible. Or when you are too rough, you might damage the car by accidents and so on. So it means that you have to maintain your steadiness in keeping the rules, in maintaining the rules, and abiding the rules. So that's the same way in when we want to be controlled, or when we are controlled, isn't it? When my husband loves me and takes care of my physical well-being, my emotional well-being, and my spiritual well-being completely, you know, one example is, of course, Lord Ram and Sita. Sita was, in all aspects, she was happy because Lord Ram was the ideal husband. So we can see also that there are many marriages, especially nowadays, where the control aspect of the husband towards the wife is not so good. So there are different modes of control. There is control in the mode of goodness. There is control in the mode of passion. And there is a control in the mode of ignorance. And you can see by the control that someone practices. So what should be the character of someone in the mode of goodness? The control of someone in the mode of goodness. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. Yes, maybe. Take care of people, naturally. Yes. Very good. Empowering others, giving education, others. Yes, Prabhu. Support their own personal development. Yes. Yes. Tolerant. Forgiving. So when someone is in the mode of goodness, he sees his position as subordinate towards others. And it's not that the husband should be subordinate or a slave of the wife, but he sees her desires as very important. He maintains his own dignity, but he sees her desires as very important. Like when a husband, well, this was one question that Lakshman asked Lord Ram, because when Lord Ram saw Sita, Lord Ram was always very fixed and, you know, not disturbed by anything, not even by demons or by fame or wealth. He was not disturbed. But when he saw Sita, he was quite disturbed. He was very disturbed. And not disturbed in a bad way, but he was in a, you know, he couldn't sleep. He was always thinking of her. And Lakshman was bewildered. He was like, I don't know you like that. Why? You know, you are, you know, I know you as very peaceful, you know, not being disturbed. How come? And then Lord Ram explained a very important thing. He says, when a husband sees his future wife, he has to become fully in love with her in such a way that he surrenders his whole desire of becoming happy unto her. When he does that, there is no hankering afterwards that, okay, I'm not satisfied with her, I will, maybe someone else will make me happy. There will be no hankering. Because of that, he was in the real position to make this vow that Sita will be his only wife. Because there was no other hankering. He was fully depending on Sita, that Sita would give him everything what a wife should give. When a wife sees such a dedication, then the wife automatically gets security and peace that this husband will not leave me, will not hurt me, will not abuse me. And when a wife is peaceful, I couldn't find that text, but I know that it is mentioned. When a husband and wife accept Lord Vishnu as their supreme controller and their supreme supplier of enjoyment, then automatically Lakshmi Devi stays in their house. And Lakshmi Devi is not only money, but it's also of good fortune, health, you know, that things that you undertake, and those things go well. So he said, well, Bhishma also explains to Yudhisthira, that is also one important question. You see, this topic is very important. It is going on for many, many yugas that this topic is addressed. And it's not that we have an answer just like that, or even if we have the answer, it is super difficult to practice, but it is not impossible. So Yudhisthira asked, you know, how should a husband control his wife? How is that? And Bhishma explains, woman should be loved, adored, and honored, otherwise the home becomes fruitless. If you have a disturbed woman or wife, if you have constant problems, if you shout at her, if you abuse her, then your home, your house, is bound to be destroyed. The force that develops when a woman lives in grief is so powerful that it is capable of extinguishing the whole family. And family means not only the temporary family, but also the dynasty before and after. That is the power of the negative energy that is created by a grieving woman. Women inculcate virtue in men. How do they do that? First woman in your life is the mother. Mother invests all their good qualities in the children. The sisters, you will, some of you have sisters or not, but normally the sisters or sisters in the society, they give good qualities. The wife, of course, you see that they have social care to give and so on. I will come to that later. Women are embodiment of Lakshmi. That is what Bhishma still tells to Yudhisthira. And disrespecting women means disrespecting Lakshmi Devi, who is directly the wife of Lord Vishnu. So every abuse that you direct toward a woman is directed to Lakshmi Devi because she is representing Lakshmi Devi. Women always need to be protected. Why? Because they are stupid, cannot think. Why do they need protection? They're simple persons. Okay. Because of simplicity, yes. Physically, weaker. Okay. They're the part of the creative energy of the Lord. So they carry children, care for children. Yes. Yes, Arjuna explains that. Yes. Yes, it's also very important. Because in this material, in this age, others see her as sense object, and that's why she needs to be protected. Sorry. Yeah, she is physically weaker. She is by nature prone to devotion. Who knows one example? Motherhood, but also in Krishna Lila, the wives of the brahmanas, you can clearly see they are trusting by nature. They are faithful, indeed, like you said. And also because men know that other men, and that's the main reason, men know that other men see women as their, what Mataji says, as their as a sense object. And when men see women, they become agitated unless they are peaceful, unless they are in control of their desires and mind. So men have the strong potency, strong tendency to make use of these weaknesses, what we mentioned before, physically weaker. They have a tendency to be devoted, trusting, faithful. So men know that other men see women. So that's why men need to protect women. But when can you protect women? When you become a man. Athato brahma jignasa. That is when you become a man. It's not that when you are in a male body, you are a man. But when you are on the level of being a civilized human being, like Prabhupada mentions, a gentleman, only then are you allowed to control and controlled and being in the mode of goodness. Only then are you allowed to control a woman. So protection means providing control, inspiring, in providing, and that's what Prabhupada mentions clearly, providing food, healthy food, you know, it's not like, okay, you know, you have something, just eat, you know, don't bother me. But she needs to have good food, she needs to have clothes, proper clothes, that represents the dignity of her husband. So the dignity that you have will be represented in the wife. So if you don't take care of your wife, that means that your dignity is quite low. If you have a high dignity, then you will have a proper care for your wife. It's very simple. You should give her shelter. So food, clothes, shelter. Very important. Basic, but also very important. And even, you know, nowadays, many men cannot provide that. Ornaments, very important. You would say, okay, what's the purpose of ornaments? But it's very important that a woman can do her duties. Her duties are to be pleasing for the husband so that her husband's attentions are always drawn to the wife, that the husband is peaceful and doesn't go looking for other women for pleasing his senses. So when the woman is nicely decorated or nicely enclosed, she is healthy, she has a good home, Then she feels peaceful. The husband feels peaceful. And then there is, you know, then Lakshmi Devi is there, present, lives there in your home. The husband is faithful, devoted, dutiful, and kind. Many times we have heard, I have heard, you know, strong statements about the duties of the wife. And it's nice, it's good to, you know, be reminded of what your duties are. But it's also very important to be reminded of the duties of the husband. And my purpose as a mother to you is to remind you. So Prabhupada mentions that actually on the level of Lord Ram and Lord Sita, of course we may not be able to be on that level, but Lord Ram was also very disturbed when Sita was kidnapped, isn't it? He lost all his energy. His limbs couldn't move. So from the material point of view, you could say, well, I don't feel that he is an example for me because he was totally under the control of his wife, you know. That's not a good example for me, isn't it? Your wife is, kidnapped. Okay, it's not a nice thing, but and then you cannot even walk, you cannot even think, you're crying the whole day. What is this? You know? It's like you don't feel like having such a person as a role model. But still, Lord Ram explains to Lakshman, because Lakshman was very impressed that, you know, Lord Ram capable of handling so many demons and, you know, handling so many important affairs, that he was so disturbed by his wife being kidnapped. Of course they were they went to look for her and they would conquer everybody else. You know, he had full faith that they were strong enough. But seeing Lord Ram in such a pitiful state, he was very disturbed, Lakshman. He said, why? And then Lord Ram explains, that is the power of being totally devoted in the mode of goodness to each other. Because even when Sita was away from Ram, she couldn't think of anybody else than Ram. She saw everywhere just Ram. Every sentence was Ram. Of course, for the men, it's nice when every sentence of the husband, of the wife, has the husband's name, isn't it? Dinadayal Prabhu, when Anupama Mataji says to you, every sentence, Dinadayal, or my loving husband. Of course, it's nice. It gives you, quite some, maybe ego after some time, but that is when you don't control it. Or when you see she is in her real position. She is my servant. She should do this. So, you know. But then the moment you think of that, you are not in your real position. Because that means that you are enjoying, your ahankar is enjoying because of that submission. You know that she is by nature submissive, and you are enjoying in a negative way from that submission. When you learn to appreciate, not to enjoy, but to appreciate and support her character, then you come in the right position. So when Dinadayal starts saying, yes, Anupama Mataji, I'm sorry, Dinadayal Prabhu, I hope you're not offended, but I just want to make it a bit more alive. I'm sorry. No, that's why I say that. That's why I, take you as an example. Anyway, I think you get the picture, isn't it? So this topic, I thought it would be nice to explore more for yourselves. I think it will make you a real gentleman. A gentleman is holding, open the door for his wife, is putting out the garbage, is taking also care of the children. Even though he's tired, he makes time for his wife to listen to her and shares her grief, even though it looks so sentimental, but accepts that that is her reality and she needs that compassion, that friendship to express herself, because if she cannot, she will have to find other ways, other channels, and you will not like it, you know. So, please, even in Bhagavad Gita it's mentioned, if you are not capable of liberating your wife, you shouldn't become a husband. That's very strong. That means that almost nobody of us should, you know, either for the women take a wife, take a husband, or the men shouldn't marry. Because are you capable of liberating one person? Are you capable? I don't know. You know. But still, the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we follow together a certain process, and we depend on the mercy of Prabhupada, the Maha Mantra, the devotional service that we do, that together we will come to a certain level and where we will understand our true position. We will realize that we should give in to the control of the Lord, and in that we help our wife or children to become liberated. So any comments? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, yeah, okay, thank you. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, there is safety. Safety. Yeah. Yeah. You know, because it's a fact that women are more on the emotional level. That's true. Because there are many fears. Fears like anxieties. There are many anxieties. Of course, the husband has a different tendency to deal with the anxieties. Also, many anxieties for husbands, especially nowadays, where the society governance is of a low quality. There are many anxieties. And it's, you know, it's a tough thing to be able to maintain yourself. What to speak of maintaining others and who are totally depending on you. It's a very tough thing. And you have to have a very strong character to be able to deal with it without major damages. So we have to prepare ourselves. So that's why in the Brahmacharya period, in the Gurukul, you were trained to be prepared for society, for grihastha life. You know, Brahmacharya doesn't mean that you portray women as the enemy or representative of Maya or the demoness or whatever. It means that Brahmacharya gives you enough foundation to deal with women, with wife, with mother, with sisters, and that you see women in the right position. And we are created by Krishna for a certain purpose. So it's not that we are the enemy that needs to be destroyed or taken over or totally ignored, but you have to, you know, understand. So come to the level of understanding means come to the mode of goodness. Then you will see everything in its right position. This is also what we do when we come to Krishna consciousness. We come to a level of understanding how to use, you know, everything in the right position. How to use a laptop in the service of Krishna. How to use the car in the service of Krishna. Not for our own enjoyment. Not to abuse, not to destroy, you see. So I put a lot of emphasis on this topic, and I think we should also be able to talk about it, discuss this, because there is a lot of grief, not only outside, but regrettably also in spiritual societies, ISKCON, and even in homes. 3 of 4 marriages in Belgium end in divorce within 3 years. That's a lot. And that's research done by University of Leuven. That's a lot. And this is a big alarm for the government. And why? How the women end up? Many end up with, you know, violence being done upon them, losing their limbs or like eyesight, especially the face is the most damaged place, you know, of women. And many cases also, regrettably also, the wife has to lose her life. These things are very, very serious. It's like marrying your own death. This is such a big gamble nowadays for women. Who am I marrying now? What guarantees are there? There is no guarantee. If you hear such a thing that 3 of 4 marriages will end up, you know, with divorce, what kind of inspiration is there for our young girls to marry? Especially that nowadays more and more domestic violence is prevalent, actually becoming also an epidemic. So a young girl knows that there is like 70% that I will be a victim, you know, of violence done by my own husband, the one that so-called loves me or I love or give care. This is very serious, and still women submit to marriage. Still they take up this challenge. And many women, after being abused many times, still they keep on to their marriage because they don't want to, you know, go to the police or, you know, give up the marriage. They try to suffer, you know. Many women, and there are many help groups, they say, no, you know, you are being abused by your husband, you should, you know, leave him, this and that. But many women are still suffering, and, you know, what about the children that are being grown, you know, that are being raised in such a family? Many of us can be in, you know, can have had such parents. So the society is very, very disturbed. The mode of ignorance is prevailing. So mode of ignorance is prevailing. That means that my husband, there is a very big chance that my husband is abusive, is not taking interest in my care, is focusing on his own sense enjoyment. So this is the information that we get. And this is the reason why in the 60s, women, the so-called feminists, you know, were gaining more field or terrain in the political arena. Well, there are many things to say, of course. This is a very, very big topic, very big topic. But I think I will keep it like this. Any other comments? Yeah. Oh. Women like your wife is the representative of Lakshmi. The moment that you look to other women, she is not representing Lakshmi. She is representing Maya for you. Not Durga, Maya. Maya is more than Durga. So the lesson is, look at your own wife. Functional? Cultural. Oh, cultural, okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah, because not only men are disturbed, women are disturbed. Everybody is disturbed. Because this is the society. Everybody is in ignorance. Yes. Actually, you know, we are giving in control. You are giving in control because you are controlled by Lord Gopinath, Srila Prabhupada, your spiritual master. You know, if you tell outside that I'm being controlled by, you know, someone, then people look like you are, you know, you're crazy. But we are giving in into control because we have faith that we are saved, that they are my well-wisher. In all aspects, they are my well-wisher. Isn't it? So the moment that the understanding is there, that I'm safe, and this is my true well-wisher, not only say well-wisher, but my true well-wisher, then there is no problem of submitting into control. But when it doesn't, then the tendency is to get still someone capable of, you know, protecting you, because women need protection. Kadamankana Maharaj mentioned that also one time, and I was thinking about that very long time. And then, indeed, also the Shastras mentioned, the only reason why women really submit to control is because they want protection. They know that they need protection. And they will use all kinds of way to get that protection. Because that's the intelligence. The intelligence will, because that is the basic need of a woman to get protection. So what you will do, you will use everything you have to get that protection. You know, we are trained to use our intelligence, but, you know, if an intelligent person comes to a man, you know, men are like, whoa, okay. You're too much to handle. But when a woman comes like, ooh, you know, my nails and my, then we are amused and then we are, you know, giving in. So that's what you're mentioning. You see? So the woman uses everything to get that protection because that is her basic need. And she will use everything to keep it. And when she notices that you cannot give it, she will do everything to reject you. And this is when your house is broken, destroyed. But we don't have the power, you know, men don't have the power to do it alone because we cannot never do these things alone. This is so important, so basic, so strong, and the forces around us are so strong. This is Kali Yuga, you know. Who to blame? The society is creating, you know, perpetrators and victims. The woman is a victim of domestic violence and the man is the perpetrator, criminal, victim. So this is our society, criminals and victims. And we have to go beyond that. And we are part and parcel of the one that controls us lovingly, only with love. and get help from him, because we cannot do anything alone. Not even breathing we can do alone. So take support of their lordships, the devotional service, chanting, instructions of your spiritual master who controls you lovingly. Yes. Societies are, that's why, very important in Vedic culture, because one thing is you can see nowadays when you say, okay, I'm in a society, oh, there is too much social control, oh, they will want to know what you're doing, you know, everybody is prying in your business. That is the negative side. But if you look at positively, then you will see, you know, if there is a society and one husband is beating the wife, then automatically the society is there to support even the husband or the wife, you know. So we have to take up that responsibility as an individual, but also as a member of a society, as a certain resident in a certain country, but also as devotees of the Lord. So thank you very much for your participation in the class. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam Granth Raj ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.